We have so many things planned for tonight. To begin, we want to punch the Wayback Machine button and take you back to the late 40s, early 50s, and one of the premier groundbreaking television shows that originated right here in Chicago.
Here we are, back with you again.
Yes, by golly.
And yes, by golly.
A cuckoo friend.
And dear old Ollie.
Here we are again.
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 That's enough.
I just smile when I hear that. Those of you who are longtime listeners know that Johnny and I have the very good fortune to be good friends with the legendary Bert Hillstrom, the man behind Kukla, Fran, and Ollie. And now, for the first time in decades, some of the early Kukla, Fran, and Ollie TV shows are coming to DVD.
Thanks to a number of people who are making this happen, and that includes the Chicago History Museum. We'll talk about that in just a moment, but the guy who is not only the webmaster of the go-to Kukla, Fran, and Ollie website. I get emotional when I hear that song, and I kind of go other places. The site is kukla.tv, and he was also responsible for working and producing this these DVDs that are going to be released. His name is Mark Malone. And Mark, thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Thanks for having me.
I smile because the song gets stuck in the jukebox of your head, you know, and it just plays over and over again. And yeah, I smile, but I also get a little teary. It just, you know, it takes me back to my childhood. And I'm just so excited that we've got news that there's new, old Kukla, Fran, and Ollie, right?
Well, I mean, ever since I put the website up back in 98, the question I get over and over and over again from visitors is, when are the kinescopes going to be released? You know, that's what always kept asking. And I always said, I don't know. You know, I know there are over 700 of them at the Chicago History Museum, but not one of them has ever been released. And so it's great to finally, you know, finally make this happen, actually myself, to make it happen.
Wow, over 700.
How did, and we should, a little bit of a jargon alert, when we talk kinescopes, this goes back to the early days of television, long before videotape. And now, correct me if I'm wrong in my explanation, Mark, but basically what was going on was someone had a film camera that they were holding or positioned in front of a TV screen, and they recorded from the TV screen as the shows were airing these episodes on film.
That's essentially it. They weren't actually, I mean, it was actually a machine that did it. There was a monitor, and there was a camera aimed at it, and they had it synchronized so you wouldn't get, you know, too much flickering and that kind of stuff. So it's actually a machine that did it, but essentially you're right. You're pointing a film camera, 16-millimeter film camera, at a television monitor and filming it while it's being broadcast live, because videotape didn't come into play until much later in the 50s.
And one of the key things to note about these shows, too, is you're seeing the genius of Bert Hillstrom and Fran Allison, and what you're seeing, there was no editing, no overdubbing, no nothing. This was live.
And not only live, but no scripts.
So no cue card.
Yep.
It's not like Fran Allison's looking at a cue card.
Nope.
She's not even looking at, she doesn't even have eye contact with Burr because he's the guy that's behind the puppets. I always hesitate to call them puppets.
Well, that's essential because she has eye contact with, and by the way, they were never called puppets.
I know.
I
hesitate to call them that. Yeah.
She has eye contact with the Kukulpolitan players.
Right.
Very much so, but never with Burr. You're right.
See, Mark, I should tell you that Johnny may get every now and then a little bit testy about this, because in the early days of our relationship, back in the early 80s, I had the very good fortune to meet Bert Hillstrom and become friends with Bert. And in one of the first interviews that I did with him, I said, you know, at any point, but off the air, I said, you know, at any point, could I maybe talk to some of the Kukulipolitans? He said, no, he said, I really don't do that. So I said, okay. And then we went back on the air, and I was looking down at a piece of paper as I was asking him a question, and all of a sudden, I hear Bulowicz answering me. And I didn't look back up. I did not make eye contact, and I had this conversation with Bulowicz. And eventually, Kukla came out, and eventually Ali. And we developed this relationship where Bert trusted me, and he knew that I wasn't going to go any place that you shouldn't go with the Kukulipolitan players. But then Bulowicz and I developed a relationship.
And then
Bula was on the show with me, highly upset when she found out that Johnny and I were engaged. She was not a happy witch.
Oh, boy.
Bula was always my favorite, too.
And let me tell you, it was very funny when we were on the air to announce to our audience that we were going to be getting married, and we go to phone calls, and there was Bula. And she was chastising me, and she would find me if I didn't treat him right. I to this day, I think back, what a crazy moment.
In fact, we were talking about this earlier today, and Johnny and I have years of tape archives, and that's one of the things we have to dig up.
Yeah.
Oh, lovely. Well, I actually met Burr around the same time. In 1980, mm-hmm. a friend invited me to come and see Kukla and Ali live at the Goodman Theater.
Oh, so you were at the same
there.
Show we were at.
Yeah. And so I had seen them. I'm too young to have seen the show in the 50s, but mm-hmm. I saw him on the CBS Children's Film Festival, mm-hmm. which they hosted. And I was never really that blown away by it because it was very much a children's show, and it didn't touch me very well. But at the Goodman Theater, I was totally charmed. It was mm-hmm. very, you know, it wasn't for kids. It was for adults or for anybody. It was very witty and very sharp. And then at the end, we all stood up to applaud, and this one guy walks out.
Mm-hmm.
And I turned to my friend and I said, "Where are the other puppeteers?"
Mm-hmm.
And he said, "No, it's just Burr." And I said, "It's one guy doing all those characters?"
Mm-hmm.
And he said, "Yeah." And I couldn't believe it. I mean, they're all so completely distinct and real. And the fact that it was one person, I was blown away. So we went out later and had dinner with Burr, and I got to know him briefly. And it was amazing. And then when I went back and I actually went to the Museum of Broadcasting in Chicago, and the only way you could watch the shows was to actually watch them there.
Mm-hmm.
So I spent a day watching them, and I was shocked at how well they hold up. You know, they're not like Howdy Doody, which is pretty much unwatchable. You really can enjoy them. And it's great to find something either from your childhood or from that long ago that still plays well today.
And from that long ago that plays well today on two levels.
Mm-hmm.
The kids could love it, and yet the adults could crack up at some of the stuff, too.
I mean, look what I have on this thing. I have them doing Shakespeare. They're doing As You Like It. They're doing Gilbert and Sullivan's The Mikado. They're doing Engelbert Humperdinck's Hansel and Gretel. You know, it's all very, you know, it's filled with references to opera and the theater. Kukla's going to see Guys and Dolls in one episode. So it's definitely, and as I mentioned on the back of the cover, the fans, I went to the History Museum and pulled out fan letters to Burr,
mm-hmm.
written by Orson Welles, John Steinbeck, James Thurber, Katharine Hepburn, Adlai Stevenson, Tallulah Bankhead was a big fan of the show. There was a huge, in fact, I know from ratings, the audience was 60% adult and 40% children.
Amazing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he won an Emmy, a television Emmy.
And a Peabody.
And a Peabody.
Do you remember the show That Was the Week That Was?
Sure.
And for people who don't know, this was a weekly, it was a live show. It was a sort of a comedic take on things that had been in the news. And this one week, Burr
did... Kind of like The Daily Show.
Yeah, mm-hmm. exactly. Mm-hmm. And this one week, Burr Tilstrom, using just his hands, no puppets, using his hands, did this wonderful representation. I believe it was called The Wall.
And the Berlin
it was
Wall.
The Berlin Wall. And it was one hand was giving kind of the Sieg Heil salute, and the other hand was, it was just amazing to watch what he could do.
Actually, what it was because I actually have it on tape, mm-hmm. it's the moment when they took, they opened the wall for a few hours to let families meet. And it's one person coming from the West to see somebody in the East. And you're right, it's amazingly touching. With just his hands, he completely shows the poignancy of this meeting, and then the anger when the wall goes back up and they're separated again. And it's amazing he could do that. He did actually a series of hand ballets on that show. That's the only one I've ever seen. But it just shows the incredible range that he had.
Well, the word genius is so overused, but when it comes to Bert Tilstrom, it is absolutely applicable.
The best moment for me was when I was interviewing the cameraman on the show, Bruce Berquist, who worked from 50 to 54. And this was a real blue-collar guy who is your typical, you know, television crewman, right? And I said to him, so did you guys on the crew, did you believe that the Kukapalatins were real? And he just said, what do you mean? They were real. I mean, it was a question. But they were complete. And he said, on the set, you did not speak to Burr. You spoke to Kukla. You know, they were as much a part of the crew as anybody else, and they all dealt with them in that way. Which is when you can make people believe that strongly. That's an amazing
thing. Especially considering they were behind the scenes, you know, as opposed to those of us who were watching it and just, you know, swept up in the moment. They saw the machinations. They saw what went into making it work on television, which is pretty darn incredible.
Bruce said he had to go backstage to adjust Burr's monitor sometimes. Burr had a monitor backstage. And when he would do that, the puppets were hanging upside down on hooks. Mm-hmm. And he wouldn't look at them because he was worried one of them was going to say, what are you looking at? So Burr really, I mean, the way to sum up Burr is he made a nation believe. He made a nation believe that pieces of cloth were alive and created his own family. You know, Burr never had a family. Mm-hmm. And so he created this family that was absolutely real and that millions of people across the country loved.
Again, for people who don't know his story, and you should, Burr was born and raised on the north side of Chicago, a product of Sun High School, my alma mater. He spent a lot of time in Michigan. In fact, Mark, just shortly before he passed away, we had the good fortune of having him on our Saturday night show. And at that time, we planned on talking with him for about 45 minutes or an hour. And 3 hours later, because he was just in this talking place and we just canceled everything, we said, we're going to let him talk because, you know, it was a snowy night and he was sitting by the fire and he was just sitting there talking with a couple friends. It's not as though he was on the radio. And he just took us down memory lane for those 3 hours and talked very reflectively. And I remember one of the strongest things that I took from that was his relationship with his family, as you call them, and they were, and his fears at how they would be treated after he passed.
And that's really the whole point of this DVD. I'm just somebody who was a fan of the show. Luckily, I have some experience in film and video, and I actually donated all my services for the DVD, and I'm not making any money off it. And I've been working with Burr's niece, Bevan, who has been absolutely marvelous, and both of us agree the reason we are doing this is we're not looking to make money off this, which is why we priced it, I think, pretty reasonable, $14.95 for 20 episodes.
That's incredible.
And we're doing it because we want Burr's legacy out there. So actually, once we recoup, you know, the money that went into producing the DVD, right, paying for it, a big chunk of the rest of it is going to charities, and charities that Burr named in his will, you know, because we don't want to, I certainly don't want to make any money off of Burr's work. Mm-hmm. I just want to get his work out there as best as I can. So I spent a lot of time working on restoring these episodes, presenting them. I made the DVD as though, what would a DVD have been like if they had made it back in the 50s? So it's very simple. There's just one basic menu, and there's no bells and whistles.
Good.
And everything is just really like if Burr had made it a DVD himself. That's the way I made the website, too. I don't know if you've been there or not.
Yes, oh, absolutely. In fact, you can link right to the website. Go to WGNradio.com, click on Steve and Johnny and our blog After Dark, and you will find a link right to Kukla.tv where you can get more information. Mark, we have to break. Can you stay with us for just a couple minutes?
Sure.
And we'll let everybody know exactly how you can get the DVD. And really, while you talk about, as Johnny was saying a couple minutes ago, about seeing some of the Christmas decorations and things going up, what a wonderful Christmas present. I mean, if Santa's listening, Olsetta.
I know. And we'll talk specifically, so grab a paper and pencil, how you can get your hands on these DVDs.
I just had to sing that again.
That could be our theme song, you know, all night long, bareback, here we are. Mark Milano is the webmaster of Kukla.tv. It's a terrific website. It's been around for a while. Mark has been working tirelessly to put together on DVD for the first time ever early episodes of Kukla, Fran, and Ollie. Bert Tilstrom's Kukla, Fran, and Ollie. And Mark, you talked about having hundreds of hours to watch, and you had to decide. How did you go about deciding what you would put on this first DVD?
Well, actually, Burr made it easy because Burr sat down in the 80s and watched a whole bunch of episodes and chose 80 of his favorites to be transferred to videotape. So I went from those videotapes. I figured I would choose from the 80 that Burr had selected himself as wanting to be available to people to view at the Museum of Broadcasting or Chicago History Museum. And then from those, there were some that were clearly his favorites. The Mikado mm-hmm. is just a wonderful, wonderful, funny show. Lemonade, it was clearly one that Burr showed over and over and over again, because actually the print in there has a couple of splices. Not too many, but there's, like, you can tell it's been showed a lot because mm-hmm. he really loved it. And then there were other ones that I loved, other ones that fans at the website had said over the years that they really loved. I spoke to some of his colleagues who are still around to ask which ones they liked the best. So we pared those 80 down to 20. But I'm glad that I was beginning with ones that Burr hand-selected himself mm-hmm. back in the 80s.
What's the earliest episode on the DVD?
The earliest one is, I believe, it's Lemonade. Let me actually look at the list here.
And that would have been from what year?
1949.
Wow.
Now, the show began in 1947 as Junior Jamboree, and then changed its name to Kukla, Fran, and Ollie pretty shortly thereafter. They did not begin making kinescopes until they went national mm-hmm. In 49. So the earliest one that I have, yeah, is Lemonade. It's from August 17th, 1949. And I have episodes from every year up until 1954. So I try to get a range because the show changed. You know, it went from a half an hour
right.
to 15 minutes. Then it went to once a week with an orchestra. So I wanted to get a whole, you know, overview of all the series, because the kinescopes begin in 49, they end in 54, so the DVD covers all of them. A couple of things about watching the DVD that I just recommend. Burr said this over and over, the publicity of the time says over and over, Kukla, Fran, and Ollie is something that you need to watch more than once to get it.
Mm-hmm.
Just watch one episode, you're going to say, what's all the fuss about?
Yep.
There's not really many laugh-out-loud shows. The pace is very slow, and you're going to think what it is. But if you watch two or three, suddenly you start really caring about these characters, and you really want to see them again. So if people have not seen the show before, you really need to watch a few before you decide whether you like it or not. And secondly, it's really probably best to watch them the way they were meant to be seen, which is one show a day. I wouldn't sit down and watch three or four in a row.
No marathons.
No.
but I want to.
Well, I mean, if you're really, you know, a fan of the show, but if you're coming at it fresh, I would say,
yes.
you know, do it at the dinner
yeah.
hour. Sit down, you know. It aired at 6 p.m. Chicago time.
Yep.
Sit down, have dinner. Watch, you know, have your dinner with the Kukapolitans, and then the next night, you know, see, have them again. And you really get this sense, because remember, they came into your home every night, 5 days a week at the dinner hour. And for many people, it's like, you know, we made sure that dinner was ready to go when Kukla, Fran, and Ollie came on.
Because you didn't have DVD to tape it.
And I was going to make the point that in 2010, with all kinds of internet and cable and satellite choices, you got to put it in the context of back in the day. This was the early days of television. You had a couple fledgling networks, but Kukla, Fran, and Ollie was must-see TV for pretty much the whole country.
Yeah, it was hugely popular. And you also have to be aware that in the age of the Internet and MTV and everything, these have a very different pace. You got to kind of like, you know, take a deep breath and relax and realize that if you watch Lemonade, you're going to watch Kukla himself making a batch of lemonade for 10 minutes. There's hardly a word spoken, and he just squeezes the lemonade and puts the and it's very – and so you have to kind of get into this zen state where you're not saying, come on, what's going to happen, you know? Just relax. You know?
Yeah, but forget the MTV quick attention span focus.
Oh, very much so. Yeah. This is, by the way, pretty much a one-camera show. You know, Bruce Berkowitz, who is a cameraman who I have become actually good friends with, you know, he had to keep that camera, his camera – trained on the Kukla-Powellsons for a half an hour, you know, without a break, because nobody was cutting away from him. And that's very different than the way television is done today.
But for those who have not had the opportunity to see the shows, they weren't all sweetness and light. I mean, it was a slice of life, because I think, Mark, you've included in the DVDs an episode that you might say bordered on being a little bit testy or edgy.
Yeah, it's my favorite, actually. It's called Leaving New York. They had been doing a week of broadcast in New York, and it's Friday, and they're getting ready to leave. And everybody is very tired, and they're snapping at each other. And this is the way the show would work, because what was happening with them in real life would be happening with the Kukla-Powellsons. So I'm sure Burr and Fran and Jack and Beale Zachary and Gami Gomovitz, they were, you know, tired. They probably were running around New York all week, and they were exhausted. And so that's what the troupe does, you know. And Fran is, like, really upset with Fletcher Rabbit and is yelling at him, Fletcher, you tore the veil on my hat. No, I didn't. Yes, you did. It was fine before. It's torn now. You know, so it's not just like wonderfully, don't think of it as this, oh, we're so sweet and wonderful and loving. There was a lot of fights. Beulah Witch and Madame Olgopus, you know, have a fight that Gene Rayburn has to patch up for them. And, you know, so there's all kinds of, like, tension, as there would be in any theater troupe, right? I mean, you have a group full of actors, you're going to have a lot of egos, right? So it's all very real.
Well, I was just going to say, in a funny way, you could say that the Kukla-Powellsons represented TV's first reality show.
Well,
really?
That's how we sell it.
But the fact that they would just get together in the afternoon, sit down and say, you know, Fran, Burr, Jack Fascinato, a few other people would get together and say, what do we want to do tonight? You know, they would just throw out, you know, and Burr would say, well, you know, this happened to me today. How about this? You know, and they would throw ideas back and forth, come up with a rough outline. Burr, Fran, and Jack would rehearse the songs around the piano, and that was it. Then they would just go on the air, you know. And the History Museum says they get requests all the time from people who want to do a show and ask if they can have a script. And the History Museum has to say, there are no scripts. There was never a script. We have no scripts because they never used a script. So that's pretty impressive, a half an hour every night. And it's, you never get the sense that they're, like, straining or searching for something. It just flows.
And, Mark, we said at the outset the word genius is thrown around so often, but it certainly applies to Burr Tilstrom. We cannot underestimate the brilliance of Fran Allison. I mean, she held that together, looking beautiful and so calm. I mean, she truly was a beautiful woman and sharp.
A beautiful woman who actually thought her career on screen was over when she had a horrible car accident in 1941. She smashed into the windshield of her car, and her face was badly disfigured.
Oh.
And she had given up any on-screen career and thought she was going to be only radio. You know, she was on Don McNeil's Breakfast Club for many years. And so she had consigned herself to a life on the radio, and then she met a plastic surgeon who did an amazing restoration job on her face. And so the Fran you see on the screen is a reconstructed Fran.
Oh, my
gosh. It's amazing how good she looks. In spite of the fact that she was badly disfigured. So it was for her. See, the way the show came, Captain Eddie at WDKB called up Burr on a Wednesday and said, can you come here? We need a family show on TV. He came down and said, I need a girl up front. I can't do it myself. And said, how about Fran Allison? They brought her in on Friday. She said, sure. And Captain Eddie said, Burr, when do you want to go on? And he said, Monday. And they said, fine. And they went on Monday, and immediately Fran believed in those characters. And that's what makes the show work, because Fran believes, you believe. You know?
Yeah.
You need she's kind of the Alice in Wonderland. You know, she's the one that you can really, the Cucapolitans are being all crazy around her, but Fran is, you know, always kind of rational and down to earth and a rock. And there's a great story, if I can tell it, about how Burr got Fran to accept the Cucapolitans.
Let's do that as a tease. We'll take a quick break, and when we come back, we will find out just how Burr got Fran to become involved with the TV show. Now we take you back in time to discover just how it became Kukla and Ollie with Fran.
Mark Milano is our guest. So take us back there, Mark.
Well, what was happening was after they, that weekend, before they went on the air, they spent the weekend writing out a week's worth of shows, actually 2 weeks worth of shows. But once they got on the air, Fran just had such a rapport with the Cucapolitans immediately that they dropped all the scripts and never used them and just went ahead, you know, ad-libbing the shows. But as the time went on, Burr went to producer Beulah Zachary and he said, you know, Fran is great, but one thing that's bothering me is she's treating the Cucapolitans as children. Fran was a former school teacher, and she's treating them like they're her students, and they're not. All the Cucapolitans were adults. Kukla and Ollie went on dates. They were not children. They were supposed to be adults. And he goes, how do I get her to treat them as her friends, her peers, rather than as children? And Viola said, well, you can't really tell her that because it'll make her too self-conscious. And the thing that makes Fran works so well is that she's completely unselfconscious. So if you tell her to change the way she acts, that's going to ruin it. So he had to figure out a way to switch her point of view without telling her. So what he did was one day Fran came to the set with a brand new hairdo. She had just gone to the hairstylist and had this wonderful new hairdo. And she came on, and Madame Oglepuss came up. Madame Oglepuss is a retired opera diva who was very concerned about how she looks, and came up and said, oh, Frances, what's new? And Fran said, oh, nothing. I went to the hairdresser today. And Madame Oglepuss says, oh, what's the matter? Couldn't he take you? And Fran just glowers at Madame Oglepuss and said, well, at least it's my own hair. Because Madame Oglepuss always wore wigs. And Madame Oglepuss goes, oh! And she leaves the stage, and Kukla comes up, and Fran is like, oh, my God, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean that. And Kukla said, no, no, she deserved it. She's been treating you terribly. And Burr said, from that moment on, Fran began relying on Kukla and Ollie to, like, help her and to assist her. And the day he knew that she really believed was when they were doing a winter carnival. And I don't know if you know, but the studios back then, the amount of light needed for those cameras was crazy.
Yeah.
It was a huge amount of light. So Fran is there in this fur coat, sweating buckets to do this show, right? And Ollie says, Ollie's wearing a sweater and a scarf and whatever, and he says, aren't you hot? And she goes, yeah, you must be burning up in that sweater and that scarf. And, like, you know, completely believing that Ollie was really hot, too, because he was wearing a sweater and a scarf. So, you know, that's what Fran brought to her. And Fran, by the way, on the shows, she's very sharp. She
ad-libs
a lot of good jokes with Burr and, you know, really gets some zingers in there right along with Burr. So she was a perfect foil for him.
And there were those moments, one of the classic moments, and I don't know if this is a part of this particular collection or not, but the day that, what was the animal that was on the set with them?
That's in there, actually, as one of the bonus.
You want to set this up and explain? It was one of those moments on TV that is incredible.
Marlon Perkins from Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom came on the show with some animals, and he brought Sweet William the Skunk along with him, because Beulah Witch had asked for that. And I don't want to spoil it, but let's just say when you have animals on live television, things happen.
Yes.
And, so that's one of the bonuses on the end of this, too. I didn't put the whole show, but I put the section with Sweet William in there. One of the things that was very painful was, you know, trying to pare down the shows, because I had, like, you know, 30 or 40 shows that I really wanted to put on here. So what we're hoping, Bevan and I, is that if this DVD sells well, is to do a volume two. You know, that's why we're hoping people will go out there, and that's why we priced it to sell. You know, I didn't want to put this, you know, really high price, and I wanted to make it very accessible. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to put a lot of shows because, like I said, you need to watch a few of them mm-hmm. before you get it. So I wanted to give a good sampling. But mm-hmm. there's 700 more shows to go if people are interested.
But what we should mention, too, it's important if you want to get these, and if this sounds like we're shilling, okay, we're shilling, because this is great stuff and would make wonderful Christmas presents. The initial run of these, there's only 1,000, right? So like the first 1,000 people to...
Well, no,
get
but if that run sells out reasonably quickly, we will mm-hmm. do a second
run. Oh, good,
run.
Good.
But how that run sells will determine if the trust. Mm-hmm. Because let me tell you, the trust is like is Bevan and her siblings, and there is not any corporation here. It's mm-hmm. just people, Burr's family, and me, and people who loved and worked Burr. So you know, we don't have money to invest, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're putting out, you know, the trust is putting out their own money to do these things. So if they sell, there will be more. If they go very slowly, you know, it could be 1,000 run, you know, only.
Mm-hmm.
So if people, you know, and I think the best Christmas present is people in their 30s and 40s buying it for their parents who saw the show.
Yeah.
I can't imagine, you know, a better Christmas gift than that, because especially if you grew up there, but even if you have children, if you can get them to calm down long enough, I bet you any money. I have a friend at work, and I gave her a copy of The Mikado, and she brought it home to her kids who are 6, 7, 8 year old, and they watched it over mm-hmm. and over and over
yeah.
again. They absolutely loved it. So kids, even in the crazy, fast-paced world of today, can still enjoy these adamantly low-tech, non-high-def shows, you know?
But you've cleaned them up so the resolution is good, the sound quality is as good as you could get it.
The sound quality cleaned up beautifully. The films, you know, look like what they are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't want people thinking
right.
that you're able to magically take a computer and add all this detail that isn't there, because it's not. You know, but they're. I think they're very watchable. And you know what? Once you get into it, you don't care.
That's true.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
The fact that you can't see every seam in the puppets is good, because
mm-hmm.
you know
mm-hmm.
it makes the illusion a little better. So when I showed them to people who haven't seen them before, people just forget that
mm-hmm.
this is the classic low def and just start having fun with it.
One of our listeners wants to know if there are any Christmas-themed shows in this collection.
There are two. Burr's favorite, which is Making a Christmas Tree Stand, where Kukla and Cecil Bill actually construct a Christmas tree stand. And then they go through and they sing almost all the songs that are on their Christmas album that they released. So that's
great.
All on there. And then there's another one, and later on, Madame Olgopus is giving Fran singing lessons to practice for Christmas carols. That's on there. There's a Halloween show on there.
Good.
There's every character gets a show. I mean, Halloween is kind of for Beulah Witch. The
mm-hmm.
Guppies' Gavotte is for Fletcher Rabbit. You know, I made sure the only character who doesn't quite get her due is Mercedes, the bratty little kid.
Mm-hmm.
But hopefully on the next set we'll have some more of Mercedes. And Ollie's mom also does not appear, but, you know.
There will be more.
Well,
we'll do our part to see to it that people get their hands on this one. It's a two DVD set of 20 episodes that take you back, 60 years, believe it or not.
And you can go to kukla.tv. Quick question for anyone who doesn't have a computer. Is there a place they could write to or still get access to?
The only other place to get them, because we don't have, you know, any distribution network, right, is they're going to be carried at the Chicago History Museum gift shop.
Okay.
And I don't know if they will mail them out or not. I say if you don't have a computer, find somebody who does and get them to order a copy.
Right.
Because, like I said, you know, this is really a labor of love for both Bevan and me. Bevan has been doing a tremendous amount of work. Every time the Kukapowhatans sing a song, and they sing a lot of songs, they sing songs from South Pacific and Cabin in the Sky and
the publishing rights.
Royal Wedding. And we had to get all the songwriting. And Bevan has been dealing with dozens of publishers because Burr loved his Broadway. So she's been doing all that work, tremendously helpful to me. And so we're doing this all on our own, you know, just out of love for Burr's work. So we just figured we'd just put it up on Amazon, you know, and hopefully people can access it through there.
Well, thank you from the bottom of our hearts, and please use us, because as soon as these sell out, you need to tell us, you need to get back on the radio with us.
In fact, if you can hold on, let's make sure off the air that we have a little bit more information. And one way or another, let's get you back on the air, say,
before Christmas.
Oh, sure. And by the way, when they go to the Amazon page, it's going to say not available. That's because that's the way Amazon works.
Mm-hmm.
But on November 20th, you will be able to begin ordering the DVDs. So even
Excellent.
Though the page doesn't looks like it's not available, it will be on November 20th.
Thank you, Mark. We
sure,
love it.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot, Mark.
Talk soon. Bye-bye
okay.
now.
Bye-bye.